dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, one of typically three people who will talk to you tonight or talk to you on these shows. And we're going to launch right into show number 203 after I tell you that this, like all of our shows, are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, they have all kinds of pizzas available there, including the infamous chicken bacon ranch, the garlic cheese, and of course the BLT, one of my favorites. Give them a call at 740-773-7529. If you're looking for all kinds of detailed information, you can find it on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Let them know that you heard about them, if you don't know otherwise, from the boys at SVC Sports Talk. And so I would like to bring in the other individuals that we have on the show tonight. Of course, one Mr. Derek Webb. I'd like to bring him in. However, Derek has a paying gig, I guess, and he is unable to be with us tonight. So we say hello to Derek, but he isn't here. And then there is the elder statesman of SVC sports history, trivia, knowledge, and I don't know what all, Mr. Shane Combs of SVC Sports Zone. Shane, how are you?
Doing great, Bruce. It's good that basketball's underway. It's an exciting time. So looking forward to a great show.
It really is. And we will miss Derek here, but we'll carry on, and hopefully he will be back with us next week for show 204. But speaking of basketball, you and I actually had a chance to take in some of the basketball out at the Zane Trace Tip-Off Classic this past Friday anyway. I went on Friday. I assume that you went yesterday as well, to Saturday?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what was your reaction to, I know that got the juices flowing. I could see it in your eyes on Friday night when I saw you.
Yeah. You know, it's a great event from the standpoint of it's nice and local. You don't have to travel a great distance away. And for a basketball nut like me, for 2 days, you see several games, boys and girls mix. I enjoy the basketball, a person in me really enjoys the variety of programs. Mm-hmm. You see the variety of systems. You'll see some zone. You'll see some man. You'll see some pressing teams. You'll see some motion. You'll see some flex offense, some shuffle offense. You'll see some quick hitter philosophy. You'll see a lot of different mixture of out of bounds. And, it's just neat to see them all. But, what's so neat about it sometimes is when you step back and just become a fan and you start to just see I think we all try to run our plays. We all try to have great X's and O's and so forth, but it really just comes down to talent and execution. Mm-hmm. It still comes down to who screens well, who comes off, who makes shots, who gets to the, help side on defense, who rebounds and so forth. And it's just kind of neat to see how all the programs go through it. And then obviously the second positive is the food.
Oh, yes. we wanted to mention that, didn't we? Because
you and I had a chance to enjoy some of that.
We did.
Zane Trace, they really are. They're incredible hosts. Yeah. It's a great time out there. What was your opinion of the hospitality of the selections?
You couldn't beat it. I really don't think, particularly for the price I paid. there is no bad free food, I don't think. But I was thinking, as that event was going on, there were a bunch of people walking around, making certain that things went the way they should. And I have to give a tip of the hat to the boosters out there that at ZT, because, that is something that they should be very proud of. the work, the coordination, the behind the scenes stuff that, that goes on, you know, and we're making light of it in a way, but, you know, just feeding the teams, feeding the press, providing that makes it special. They did it with a smile and, they were very nice about it. And then the, people in the concession stands, the guys at the scores table, got to spend some time with them a little bit. And that was interesting for me from my perspective. But good basketball otherwise. And, you know, like you said, you could see, what was it, three games, I think, on Friday, and I don't even know how many on Saturday.
I lost track somewhere around, another seven or eight, maybe. Not sure. Yeah, it's neat. Y'all mentioned Jan Detty and Alan Coker by name just because they were part of our 200 show, and they've helped. The reason I hate to start naming too many people, it's one of those things where you'll leave a boatload out, but really well said in terms of their boosters and just their supporters, their sponsors. It's an event that's really neat. I know some teams played Friday night and then came there and played Saturday. So that's a busy weekend for them to start, especially Bruce, if you play a Friday night road game and then a Saturday afternoon back out at Zane Trace, that can be a quick opening weekend for your kids. But I know, some teams open there, they probably didn't get the competitive games they wanted to get a lot of years. I think Paint Valley, Amanda kind of saved the day with the two overtime thriller. That was a double overtime thriller where you had Grubby, or I should say Caden Grubb. I've always called him Grubby.
Right.
For Paint Valley, hits the three to send it to overtime, and then the young man from Amanda with the little lean in bank shot to send it to double overtime, and eventually Paint Valley wins it. But man, what a great atmosphere that was, because keep in mind they were setting up for their Hall of Fame inductions. And Zane Trace was getting ready to take the floor next. So it was one of the biggest crowds of the day. So that was fun. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. It kind of makes you tired. I'm not getting any younger. But, I certainly enjoyed being out there Friday and Saturday. And I won't tell how many, but I probably made multiple trips to that hospitality room and enjoyed some meatballs, which kind of has a history on SVC Sports.
That's where I was headed next. We could spend all day talking about it because it was a great event, but the really, really, really important thing that I wanted to find out was, did Eric Snyder get any meatballs?
That rumor is, I did not witness this.
Okay.
Rumor is Coach Snyder made up for lost years at all the times that I have supposedly have stolen his share of the meatballs, and he is said to have had a helping and then some. There might have been something involved in him stealing a tray of meatballs or something. I can't confirm that, but that was the rumor that I had heard.
That happened. We were talking earlier. I think that happened in the first or the second season of SVC Sports Talk when Shane mentioned that just kind of in passing that he had gotten some pretty good meatballs out there at the ZT Tip Off Classic, and Eric, who had not been in a situation where he could get any at that point in time, really had an issue with it, which we made light of several times that during that year. It also came up in our 200th episode in front of Jan Detty. So I think Jan may have made certain that Eric got his meatballs. So everything's right in the world of Eric Snyder, and we hope that bodes well for the Huntington Huntsman throughout the rest of the season. He should really be nice, guys, when he gets back on the court this week. So.
I'm sure he will.
Well, that is great. Okay. Well, again, it was a fun time out at the ZT Tip-Off Classic, and we do thank the boosters and everybody involved for all their hospitality and for putting that on. That's a great thing. So we want to continue on here. We're going to kind of stick in a new, maybe one-of-a-kind segment here. It's called Learn the Website segment. And Shane, I'm going to let you just take us down that road.
Yeah, we're going to call it Learn the Website segment. We're going to have it brought to the fans by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. And I know, gosh, man, we still have had some days where you get out and play some golf, but I know we're getting to the type of year where you might put the clubs away. But what I would encourage you to do, check out their website. and give them a call and let them know SVC Sports Talk sent you, because they have some really, really good membership packages that are very reasonable that, you know, let's say you're from out of town and you don't really want to commit to a course. Well, they have some smaller packages where you can get, you know, a 3-round, a 4-round, 5-round, so forth. You can just call and kind of talk to them a little bit about what you're wanting to try to do. So, again, that number is 740-986-4653. But, you know, Bruce, where this segment had kind of come about was when you do the website for 10 years and you sit here at the computer every night and you're sitting here, you know, putting this stat on and this score on and this page on, after a while you take for granted that, you know, you kind of know where to go and what to look for and so forth, just like anything. But yeah, a lot of people that are maybe a little bit new, or maybe their kids are growing up and they haven't been with the website as long. I'll get a text, or I'll get an email, or I'll have someone ask me over the weekend. I had a couple people say that they their kids are now in junior high and they love the website. They've been introduced to it and it's great. And they'll start to ask, you know, where can I find junior high scores? Can I find JV scores? Someone asked me about our 1,000 point page, where they could follow an Ella Skeens or Alexi Woods or a Dylan Swingle or some other kids that are going to be, you know, on there eventually. And so I just thought that I would mention a handful of pages, and if people had more and more comments in weeks to come, that we could certainly highlight some of these pages, because again, what it does is it highlights the kids. Our streaks page we read from last week on our boys show highlights the best winning streak of every sport, the historic streak for that sport in the SVC. So you can look at that. There's a banner there at the top of our homepage that takes you to SVC streaks. One of those banners also takes you to a junior high page. Mm-hmm. So we put 7th grade boys, 7th grade girls, 8th grade boys, 8th grade girls, and we have their basketball scores all winter long. We also have a JV freshman. See, now you can also get to the junior high and to the JV freshman scoreboards at the top of the varsity scoreboards. You'll see a link there. It's very easy to find if you just go to the top of the varsity scoreboard on our basketball pages. And then that'll show you freshman boys, JV boys, JV girls. I've mentioned our 1,000 point pages. There's big icons there that you can click on right on our boys page as well as our girls page. And that list over on the right side, the leading scorers in school history. And then the main column takes them into SVC history. So that's a really, really neat page. It takes you back through the history of our entire conference. And then we obviously have archives as well. So you can find that on the basketball pages, you know, toward the top there. That takes you back through the last 10-year history. It allows you to go through the history of the conference and see who's won and who's not. So I'd really encourage people, like any website, just to click around at the top of the homepage, click around at the top of the basketball pages. Mm-hmm. But you'll find that basketball page right there where you see every logo of every SVC sport we have, you know, right toward the middle top, once you scroll down underneath our logo and some of our sponsors and stuff. So again, pretty easy to find. And once you get comfortable finding it, you'll kind of know where to go every time. But I thought that was good feedback for me, because again, I take some things for granted sometimes. So I wanted to let people know that beyond just a normal varsity score, or beyond an article I may write, or beyond this podcast show, there's so much more out there that you can enjoy if you're a fan of SVC.
Shane, just checking as we were talking about the website, it occurred to me that I've seen some things through the years where people have, you know, said, well, why don't you have this score up? And why don't you have that score up? And in a lot of instances, you don't have any way to know what the score was or something like that. It may not be nearly the case with basketball as it is with some of the other sports. I wanted to give you this opportunity. Is there anything that you don't get right now in the fall, in the winter, that you need? And if so, could you mention it to the folks and maybe they can contribute somehow?
Well, I think at the varsity level, we're at least going to get the score. Now, right. Last night we were recording this on a Sunday night. Last night I did not get, until today, the West Union Southeastern boys basketball score, which is very unheard of. It was just a situation where it was a team on the road, a non-league game, whatever. Yeah, but obviously, if you do not see a stat on there or whatever, I didn't get that. The thing that I'm probably having the hardest time getting that I have a lot of people that would like for me to get are junior high scores.
Okay.
What happens is you usually get about 4 to 5 different contacts a year that will keep you posted on 4 or 5 different schools. Well, what happens is, depending on who's playing, I may go a week or two and not get, say, a score from this school. And so there's always something missing when I try to keep them updated there. So then what happens is you get a lot of different people who enjoy going on there and looking at that, and that kind of I don't want to say upsets them. I think they appreciate it. They wish it was there so they could see the whole scoreboard. So I think as kids are getting into junior high, kids are getting into JV, freshmen, so forth, those are probably the levels that I certainly don't mind getting. And then I'll be honest, I get very little for wrestling. Okay. We're trying not to cheat wrestling here in the winter, but to be honest, I get very little wrestling throughout the year.
Okay. Well, if anyone happens to be listening out there and wants to maybe make a commitment to keep Shane up to date, particularly, for instance, on the junior high scores, email him at admin1@svcsportzone.com, and maybe you can establish a relationship. He'll give you more information and so forth on how to, you know, get him the information. You can always use email, but he may be nice and maybe give you his phone number. I don't know. He's like
sure.
That. He's like that. Well, you know, even though Derek isn't able to join us tonight, I thought I might give you an opportunity to mention some of the work that he and the people at the Gazette are doing right now concerning basketball that you feel may be helping out in our mission to, you know, give the exposure to our athletes in the SEC.
Well, I encourage people, first of all, to make sure you take advantage of the online. Yeah, I'm a little bit old school, like a lot of people, where I like to sit down maybe, and even though I already know kind of what happened, maybe look back at a newspaper and read an article or so forth. But I think in the new school, I would encourage people to make sure you have access to the online with the Gazette, because they have great photo galleries of games. He'll give you a daily digest. He'll give you a kind of a, you know, some of the main points that you need to know. He's had some neat features too, Bruce, where I don't have it in front of me. I can't remember exactly what he calls it, kind of like a chalk talk type thing where he interviews a coach. Mm-hmm. And he'll spread that around. He'll seem to do one maybe about once a week, once every other week, where he'll just kind of do a one-on-one that's very detailed. That's kind of good stuff. I enjoy that. He'll do a lot of times he'll do a thing where he'll say it's 5 things you need to know about, and he's featuring a team. I enjoy that a little bit. Sometimes it's about the current team. Sometimes it's about the history. Again, I appreciate, as someone who loves SVC sports as much as I do, I know I appreciate just his passion to cover locally. So I would encourage, just like on our website, I would encourage people there in the Gazette to kind of just pay attention to what he's doing, because it really highlights our programs as well as the kids involved in the programs.
All right. And if you're listening, Derek, at some point, we gave you some good pub there, my man. So, and of course, you can follow him too. If you are into Twitter, he is a very good person at giving you information via Twitter, albeit, you know, I guess there's no longer 140 characters and now 280 characters, but it may be kind of chopped up. You know, when he's at a game, the tweets are flying, because
and we gave him a hard time. We give him a hard time on here a lot. Yeah. His effort, though, at the Classic,
yeah,
all day Saturday,
yeah,
was incredible. I mean, you know, if obviously I couldn't hardly do that because I was too busy eating in between different quarters and halves or whatever. But I mean, no, seriously, he from start to finish, he had that thing covered awfully well. It was impressive.
I kind of followed it via the Twitter from him. So we appreciate you, Derek. Let's move to our look at the mailbox this week, the inbox. And this is brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. And We have C&K at 106 West Main Street in Circleville. They are your source for SVC local school apparel. They also have fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and other sports equipment. And, of course, with this gift-giving season just around the corner, they can fix you up for whatever you need for your local school within the SVC. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. So we're going to move on to the inbox, and I understand we've had some good response from our basketball preview shows. I can tell from some of the numbers of downloads and visits to the website and so forth that those are the shows that we get the most response from. I guess everybody's...
Because everybody's owing up.
That's exactly right. Everyone's an optimist before the season starts. So we're all excited, and we appreciate the listens and so forth and the subscriptions. But I will say we got one question. It was a rather long email, but it pointed out that during both show 201 and 202, 201 being the girls' preview, 202 being the boys' preview, Shane, you mentioned that it's now particularly tough for coaches to build a program. And you kind of hit that point two different times on two different shows. And so this emailer was wondering, you know, what's behind that? Why? And what are you getting at there?
Well, first, Bruce, I think what's interesting about this is oftentimes you do 200 and now what, three shows, and you talk for an hour. And again, you're very passionate about what you're talking about, and you have different beliefs that sometimes you'll say things that you obviously believe in, but you'll kind of forget that you're making such a point that might really strike something with people. And so a lot of times when I start to get feedback early in the week, I'll go back and listen to the show, and I'll be like, wow, I did say that. And it's something I truly believe in.
Yeah.
But you can tell that people, you know, a lot of times will catch on to different details. And that's very interesting to me. The email you're referring to is by far the most detailed feedback on this topic, but I could tell that comment struck some interest in people, because I've had a lot of people mention that particular thing to me. You know, I'll kind of break it down as you see fit, Bruce, as you're reading through some of the topics. But I guess if I was going to start with just a short answer, I would probably say numbers. In terms of support system, in terms of a lot of different things involved, I think that the numbers of the people involved can really start to dictate. And let's face it, when you're taking over a tough rebuilding situation, oftentimes those numbers and all the categories needed are kind of low. So that's kind of like the way I would start it. And then I'll kind of let you look down through there and tell me where to elaborate or what you think's maybe the best direction to go in answering this.
If I understand you, you're saying numbers, and you didn't mention necessarily players, but you're talking sort of the support staff, if you will. Is that where you're saying?
I think it's all of that. Yeah, I think it's all of it. Okay, let's just kind of break it down here. First of all, I think the obvious numbers are players.
Yeah.
Okay, and the numbers, when I say numbers, I'm saying how many play.
Okay.
So, you know, you start in a program, and obviously if you have – the more players you have, the more you can get involved in summer activities, mm-hmm. the more you can have quality open gyms, the more you can have quality workouts, the better your fundraising is. If you're trying to go in and change culture, the more you have people involved in working on facilities or fundraising, that allows you to maybe to get some new gear, to get some different things involved. It kind of sets that foundation of what's going on. You know, it's so frustrating to go to a summer camp or a summer shootout and have five or six kids, and maybe like four or five of your key people at that varsity team or that JV team aren't even there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want to say it's a waste, but you feel like you're giving up opportunities. You know, when you get into the season and you start to practice, are you practicing everybody together because you don't have enough to get what should be in a girls program, a true JV and a true varsity practice, or in boys, a true freshman, a true JV, a true varsity practice. In junior high, are you practicing seventh and eighth grade together just because you only have like seven on each team, where if you had 12 on each team, you could have a quality seventh grade practice, you could have a quality eighth grade practice. And as you've heard me say before, that's really important in terms of developing, because you're at two different levels or different levels depending on what level of basketball you're playing. So, you know, I guess for me, the next question I ask is, okay, why are the numbers down?
Yep.
Okay, so that's the next point I would go to. Obviously, if you're losing, you have less people involved, because keep in mind, you know, I believe it goes back to Little League. Okay, your elite players are going to find a way growing up. Their families are involved. You're going to get them the experience, the teaching, and you're still going to have great players. We have great players in our league now. We're going to talk about a lot of them, Bruce, throughout the show. But I guess what I'm saying in terms of the numbers, it becomes the depth, and it's the multiple growth. The second thing with numbers is coaches. You know, you're between that rock and a hard place in the Little League. They used to get paid to run it. Mm-hmm. Over time, they started to pass that on to other people to try to get more people involved. A lot of head coaches did. Well, then when some of the financial times hit, that position got cut. Well, then you still have to be a part of it, because, you know, if you're going to run a program, you got to have a Little League program. So, you know, if you're between that rock and a hard place, because if you try to change it back to an old school, you're going to have a lot of your people rebel, because so and so over at this school plays this. Why aren't our kids doing that? So you kind of go with it. You're trying to get people involved. It's hard enough to get people at the freshman and JV and varsity assistant or seventh and eighth grade. Now you got to get third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I mean, you know, there's so many coaches that are needed to run it. So, it's a difficult process that can take a couple years just to get a coaching staff established. Mm-hmm. Well, you know as well as I do, how patient are people today? You know what I'm saying? In terms of, I said 1 or 2 years to even get a coaching staff. I didn't even talk about winning basketball games. I said in terms of just getting people to start. So these are all the things, from getting a coaching staff together to getting some foundation to changing culture to doing all these things. And I haven't even talked about organizing the season or coaching actual basketball on the court.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It sounds like a lot of this stuff that you talked about is kind of in the background, and you haven't even mentioned, you know, what it's like when the ball goes up. Is it hard, or what makes it hard? I guess you've established it. It's hard, but what makes it hard when the game is being played?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, I think it's the preparation for the game. Okay. So on the court, when you get to the practices, you know, obviously you're trying to get in your X's and O's, and you know, it's a little bit of a balance between how do I give my team the best chance to compete this Friday night compared to building my identity that I want my program to have the next 3, the next 5, the next 7, the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, now things have changed. Administrations, and this is a whole different topic, so I won't get off topic here, but I at least want to mention this so people understand. Schools are starting to have some different outlooks and opinions, is the way I'll say it, on the athletic director position. Mm-hmm. But what's happened in some of the treasurer office and some of the different departments and some of the different cuts. So what's happened is coaches have had more and more thrown on them in terms of scheduling of the gyms, of the busing, the transportation fees, the paperwork, the coaching certifications, the different things that have gone into it. Obviously coaches have all that stuff. They also have got to look at, okay, who's going to do my film? Who's going to do my book? Who's going to do my stats? How am I going to do these things? So all of these things get you ready to play. Well, then you've got to do the normal things of practice schedule, and you got to prepare your team and scouting reports and, you know, actually coach. And then you get to game night. If you've never been in that head coach chair, boy, is it different when you move one chair down, we like to say. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is. It's, you know, your kid picks up the second foul on a common foul in the second quarter. You might have about 7 seconds to decide, is he or she coming out, or am I going to wait? And if you waited too long and he or she fouls on the next play, now they have 3. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So how many timeouts do I have? Should I call a timeout right here? You know, out of bounds. What's my play? What's going on? Did I sub? You know, all these different things spinning in your head. And that's where, again, if you're able, you know, sometimes you heard Derek joke about Piketon having so many coaches last week on the show. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, in all seriousness, you know, the more coaches you have and the more you start to trust them and the more they start to have roles, that's what starts to happen. But man, that doesn't happen in year one. That doesn't happen in year two. You know, I know my brother could probably come on the show and talk about this. He has a lot of coaches on his bench, but all of them have different roles that make his job a lot easier. And he's able to work with them in preparation. So he has a say in what they're doing, but at the same time, he trusts them with different aspects and he knows that they do their homework and prepare just as hard and so forth. So it's fascinating to be a part of. It's obviously what I love and it's something I really enjoy doing. But I think the comment I simply made was I don't think the average fan just understands. And, you know, obviously different programs, Bruce, are different than others. You know, sometimes you go into a program where it's kind of ready to go. You just got to put some pieces in place and you might be fortunate enough to have some talent and it kind of helps you be successful. Or maybe you're lucky enough to walk in and have a really elite player. And he or she can cover up a lot of those mistakes for you in the early going. But, you know, I watch certain things as new coaches. I'll take Aaron Daly, for example, at Zane Trace. Obviously, the Zane Trace girls program is in a numbers crunch. Mm-hmm. They have kids that are not ready for varsity level. And those girls are going out there and they're playing as hard as they possibly can. I don't think Zane Trace understands how lucky they are to have someone like Aaron who played at Zane Trace on really good basketball teams. She went to the college level to play. And, you know, she's someone who's coming back and is willing to step into the program right now and say, hey, I'll come to the front of the program and I'll try to help. Because understand, when it gets to the point that they're at number-wise, that didn't just happen last year. That didn't happen the year before. This is something that can happen over a 5, 6, 7 year period where different things from a philosophy change at younger levels, or they might change in terms of rosters and putting rosters together and so forth. You know, you see it with the Adina girls right now. We talked about Tristan Norman coming in at Paint Valley, and her situation's a little bit different because, you know, again, you go back 5, 6 years there. I know former coaches going back to Joe Holbert and with Regina, you know, Tristan was on their staff. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so I know that Joe Holbert made JV basketball important because he really worked quarters and got kids involved in different things and won a JV championship. Well, Tristan was the eighth grade coach at that time. Well, then as Regina becomes Coach Newland, you know, Tristan moves up and then she's at the JV level. And you see how in some of her early success here, how some of those JV kids from last year are now fulfilling roles. Obviously, she's blessed with a special talent like Lexi Woods, but she's also had kids develop that she's helped develop, you know, through that foundation of philosophy that was set for coaches before her. She's been able to carry it into junior high. She's been able to carry it into JV and now the varsity level. You're seeing Eric Snyder tried to do the same at Huntington. Obviously, when he took over the girls program, it was not in a good spot. You look 4 years later where it was and where it continues to be now. You know, he's proven he can do this. It's going to be a long road. So you see all these programs that are young. You see some that are in different spots. But it's just fascinating to me, regardless of the talent, that all the different things that a coach has to do that maybe sometimes I don't even take the time to think of myself because it's what I do. You know what I mean? I enjoy coaching. I just do them. But I was making the comment on last week's show that I bet you there's a lot of fans out there that have no idea. They just think the coach shows up on Friday night and, you know, calls some plays and then they either win or lose and they go on home and have some pizza. I mean, so I hope that clarifies it a little bit. You know, as we move forward on this show or other shows, Bruce, if you think there's other things with that topic that would interest people, by all means, you know, I love talking about the job of coaching.
Well, two things kind of crossed my mind when you were talking about this, and you hit on dozens of points there, I think, that we could talk about, but we'll, in the interest of time, maybe we'll just pick up two. You know, if I put on my old man hat and become one of those grumpy old men that used to be in the Muppets and up in the balcony or something like that, I'd say, well, you know, people are no longer patient and people don't want to get involved. Do you think that that old crotchety, you know, attitude that I could have, is there truth behind that? Either one of those. You mentioned patience. I mean, we stand in front of a microwave and cuss it because it takes 2 minutes to boil water, you know? And that's one thing that I know. I'm that person. And secondly, you know, I have I've pretty much concluded that there are some people that just don't want to get involved. And as that occurs, there's less and less help for a basketball coach.
Well, let's talk about that patience, because that's fascinating. Like, here's what I mean by patience is a lot of times you take a year or two, and I think I can almost combine my answer here, because I think there's people that want to get involved. Sometimes they don't know how to. Mm-hmm. They don't know what there is to do. And I think that's where coaches have to meet people, and they have to start to get people involved. Maybe this person's going to be in charge of team dinners. Maybe this person's going to keep the book. Maybe this person's going to help with some stats. You know, maybe this person's going to help, do some locker room things, and this person has the skill to fix this. You know, all of these different things take time to make these relationships. Now, maybe if you're already in-house and you've known some people over the years before you're the coach, maybe that helps.
Yeah.
But if you're a new coach, it takes time to meet these people. And so what's so frustrating sometimes is you no more change the culture, you clean up some of the facilities, you clean up some of the mannerisms of the kids, you get this. I didn't even mention discipline with numbers, because a lot of times what happens, Bruce, if my numbers are down,
yeah,
I have to kind of discipline in a different way compared to the coach that has two times as many kids.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? You can't kick five kids out for something.
That's exactly right, in terms of not having a program for your school. So a lot of times what happens, coaches want to try to do the best things they can do for the kids while still keeping the program intact, where other coaches would just tell a kid, look, if you don't do it my way, take a hike. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So yeah. That's a factor. So again, what I mean by culture and all these people that want to get involved, after a year or two, a lot of times you start to make these relationships. Well, how many times do you see, right, when a coach gets to that point, you start to get people in the community say, well, he or she hasn't won. We really need to go a different direction.
Yeah.
So what happens is, after a couple of years, or maybe even the coach just gets frustrated and says, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, in that third or fourth year, we start all over. Yep. We go on a job search. We hire another coach, and here we go again. And it's tough. And, you know, it is. It's a really difficult process. And, I think the administration has to be invested. I think a lot of times when you see certain things take off, it's because people in important positions in your school system have taken the time to really invest in it. And make great hires and support their hires and then help their hires in terms of getting them these resources and so forth. And unfortunately, when it goes the other direction, I think a lot of times it's, you know, I'll hear people sometimes say, hey, did that coach do anything to run that person off? And a lot of times what my answer will be is, I don't know that they did anything to run them off, but I don't know that they did anything to help them stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And I'm not even saying that a school is right or wrong in doing it. I think sometimes, you know, again, it takes a dynamic hire to where someone's going to come in and really have the knowledge of the types of people they need. I heard Tom Izzo speak one year at a clinic talking about how, you know, he can remember giving a janitor a national championship ring because of all the different things they did around the facility and how they let kids in to get extra work in when he wasn't allowed to, and unlocking things. And then, you know, and his message to the coaches were, you know, look around and figure out how everybody you come in contact can help make your program better.
Hmm.
And that takes time. You don't make these relationships your first week on the job. You don't make them your first year on the job. It takes time to build those relationships. And I'm telling you, I'll guarantee you, the special programs have people behind the scenes doing great things to make a good program great.
Yep. Well, finally, just kind of a final thought here. You know, sure, we've been talking basketball, but I know you're a baseball coach. Is this true with baseball and other sports other than basketball?
Absolutely. Same exact thing. And that's what makes it so neat. And the coaching thing is, you know, it's just a different set of things, maybe. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It could come down, again, to facilities or taking care of your stuff or having access to work with kids, having relationships with your little league programs. Because a lot of times in baseball, it's more of a local community thing, maybe, instead of a school thing.
Yeah.
Or in football, you talk all the time about numbers. But yeah, in baseball, having numbers, sure. You know, if I have a JV team at a small school of nine kids, mm-hmm. we have to get a little bit creative, yeah, maybe, at how we discipline, you know what I'm saying? Where if we have 13, 14 kids on a JV team and two don't come to practice, well, that's easy discipline. You don't play. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things of, so sure. I mean, it's, you know, from fundraising, the all the different things I mentioned, it's the exact same thing. It's the relationships and the different people you meet and so forth. So it's really a fascinating thing. It really is. The more experienced coaches kind of know kind of some of the new responsibilities and the different things. But it is. It can be an overwhelming thing. When I look back, I guess in closing, and again, Bruce, I talk about this all night if you want me to, so feel free to ask any questions. But I would say, looking back, if I go back about 15, 16 years ago when I was a young head coach in basketball, you know, I could coach the game. You see what I'm saying? I could scout a team. Right. I could X and O. I could prepare a team. And I would look and say, hey, our kids were prepared. I was proud of that. We played against that team pretty tough or so forth. But it was all the other things program-wise that beat me down at the age of 24, 25 years old. You know, even being a varsity assistant as young as 19 years old, you know, basketball was never the problem. It was all the other stuff. And that's why, as I've gotten older, I've almost coached backwards. I've enjoyed some time I've spent at the junior high level. I love the opportunity coaching some JV. I've loved being a varsity assistant. Now, I still love being a varsity head coach, and I plan on being a varsity head coach in multiple sports still. You know, if the good Lord blesses me with the health to do so. I'm just saying that I think it's given me a wide range of perspective on terms of kind of what needs to be done, but how difficult it is to do it in today's time.
Well, that is, you've said a mouthful. I mean, and I think you've done a good job of trying to explain to those people that really understood or maybe didn't understand what you were talking about when you said it was a particularly tough time for coaches to build a program. Lots of stuff there. You know, if anybody has some comments about that, if they want to ask a question, a more pointed question that I've been asking about that, you know, drop us an email at admin1@svcsportzone.com and let Shane know, where we should go with that. I mean, that is, you know, I'm sitting here, 1,000 different things run through my mind. I mean, school teachers talk about this same stuff. It's not just the teaching, it's now the administration. And I don't mean that, you know,
sure,
talking about the principal and the vice principal and all that kind of stuff. It's all this other stuff that goes along with it. Life, my father used to say, I used to think he was just getting old and crotchety, like I'm now there. But he used to say things are just very complicated. And I think being a coach has gotten complicated as well. Good stuff. But let us know your thoughts on that, or whether Shane's all wet and maybe he's just getting old like the rest of us.
I can guarantee you that.
Okay. Well, another question came in the inbox, and that was with respect to the big scoring that has been taking place, big scoring by individuals on the basketball courts. We had Skeens with 38, and she's now seventh all-time in SVC history with 1,600-plus points. Woods scored 34 and is now at the 1,200 mark. Purdue, 38 in his opener. Dylan Swingle averaging 26 per game. Collins, 26.5 per game. And a few other top players have had some pretty good big scoring nights. What do you make of that?
Well, I think what happens when you get special scores like that, Bruce, is I always look at about five areas of basketball you can score in. And what happens when you start talking Ella Skeens or Lexi Woods or Braden Collins on the girls' side or Tana Purdue or Dylan Swing on the boys' side is you start to see where they can score in at least four, if not all five, of those areas. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about, you know, the three-point line. I'm talking about the mid-range game. I'm talking about either at the rim, either by the drive
right,
or the post
right,
in transition. And then, of course, the free throw line, because I think what happens is these kids present such matchup issues. Like I know Braden Collins on opening night shot 20 free throws.
Wow.
A kid like Dylan Swingle, obviously down in the post, but he's also able to step out. I know the other day he hit 3-4 mid-range jumpers, and the Amanda kids are looking over at Coach, Cody Carpenter, and saying, "Hey, what do you want me to do about that?"
Yeah.
So obviously these kids can also step out and shoot the three. Kid like Purdue on the drive is impossible to stop, and then in transitions where it's really bad because they're so gifted and they're so athletic that they become sure. So I think the other part to look at, Bruce, is when we see improved scores, what it is it's kids that used to be able to, say, a year ago score in maybe two of these areas. Now what happens is they come back and they've added something to their game to where they can now score in a third or fourth area. Mm-hmm. And you've seen that's the difference between them averaging, say, 8 and now averaging 12, or averaging 12 and now averaging 17 or 18. I know the Fault kid of Adina was impressive the other day. McCloskey of Huntington had a big one. Newland has added some things, not just a 3-point shot of Paint Valley, but also in the post. The Uniota guards. Swackhammer's ability to now really shoot it, or Kennedy's ability to put it on the floor. The Cam Evans kid from Zane Trace was impressive the other night, as Nick Nesser as well. On the girls' side, Grace Lytle, I think, shot 20, what was it? Oh, 18 free throws in her first game. And then she comes back against Paint Valley and gets there 14 times. So when you're getting to the line that many times, you're almost going to accidentally score double figures just from the line.
Could this be most of these are really good players here that we're looking at. Could it be that this is the first of the season and everybody else has not brought their game up to the level that maybe, for instance, Dylan Swingle? I mean, I'm sure he's gotten a boatload of work in year round. So he's been working on it more than, say, somebody else.
I think that's a really fair point in terms of some kids don't hit their peak until like December, January. I guess Matt Hoops kind of mentioned that in his interview, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, we have a lot of kids right now that just play basketball, or so I think that's a really good point, Bruce. And plus, I think the other thing is to look at rosters. Again, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with numbers. A lot of these rosters are now becoming top heavy, and not all of these schools have some of the depth that they need, and it's kind of putting more pressure on kids. Whereas when you go to balanced teams, a lot of times you don't see like take Uniota girls, for example. They have two or three girls that could really, really score. Rarely are you going to see a Uniota kid go for 30-0, because what you're going to see every night is you're going to see like seven kids go for between 8 and 15.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like all the way down to a role player like Cree Stolle. Cree Stolle is crazy talented. I mean, Cree Stolle, she's a sophomore now, I believe. If Cree Stolle played at another school starting last year as a freshman, mm-hmm. where she just got turned loose and went, she'd have her weaknesses, okay? But she'd also, from a talent standpoint, like her or a Coleman, or some of these kids that are just kind of, they may score 1,500 points in their career at another school. It's mm-hmm. just that's kind of what, that's just in terms of being on that balanced team or that better team. So I think it's fascinating to look at those five areas of scoring I talked about, but it's also fascinating to look at their role and look at their opportunity to score and kind of break it down from an efficiency standpoint, too.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, Shane, I got four questions here. It's time for our fast break.
Well, yeah, I'm going to fly solo tonight without Derek. So obviously I'll give the only answer. So I'll try to make it somewhat intelligent. We'll say it's brought to the fans by Crown Hill Golf Club. Once again, our fast break segment, 740-986-4653. Again, I would really, really encourage you to check them out. If you have some golfers on your shopping list here around Christmas time, I think you could really come away with a unique gift that maybe they're not expecting. But give Kevin a call. Again, 740-986-4653. Tell them SVC Sports Talk sent you, and you're just kind of interested in seeing what they have to offer. I think he'd really hook you up with a good deal. So, yeah, Bruce, let's go ahead with some basketball questions, and I'll fire back at you with what I think is the best answer.
Now that you've watched the regular season get underway, give the fans a performance that surprised you in a positive way.
I really think it's the depth of some of the girls' basketball I've seen. And I'll highlight my answer by talking about the Paint Valley girls' depth. I was at the SVC opener the other night where Lexi Woods and Leah McFadden get in serious foul trouble. I mean, Leah McFadden had a great first quarter, and then she got in foul trouble, Bruce, where she probably didn't play a total of 5 minutes the rest of the game. Lexi Woods, same way, got in some foul trouble. And all of a sudden, you're looking up at the clock and you're thinking, oh my goodness, Piketon's not the deepest team either, but is Paint Valley going to be able to hang on playing without these two when they fouled out? And let me give you some names here. Jill Bullion, kid that's been in the program all the way through. Caitlin Dobbins. Jill, I think, scored 6-7 points, been in the program through and through with Coach Norman there. Caitlin Dobbins diving on the floor for loose balls, giving them some ball handling. Annika Campbell, I know Cameron Crawford. Those are just some of the names off the top of my head. You know what you're going to get from Dunn. Even Dunn made a big shot for him. Amy Hollis has given him some minutes. But these are all these kids that had been in the program that continue to go. And then when I looked around the league, talking about the importance of JV, and when you look at Richie at Piketon, or you look at McCloskey or Davis or Haubauer or Etler there at Huntington, or McLone at Uniota, it's interesting to see some of these kids that have come up off the JV that are giving these teams some depth, and it just shows you the importance of those younger levels. But I think that depth of Paint Valley girls really jumped out at me on that question, Bruce.
What was something you already knew going into the year that took place in the first week that fans need to recognize?
Well, I think where I had an opportunity to watch him when he was younger at Piketon, and then I also had a chance to watch him when he left, I already knew what to expect with Tanner Perdue. I mean, this kid can really, really play. I made that comment on the boys preview show, and I don't know that a lot of fans knew that just because they hadn't seen him. But this kid can really, really score the basketball. It kind of reminds me some of the days there at Piketon when Miller and Farmer were kind of struggling with some of those teams, and the Volgamore kid came in, or with going back into the 90s with Lamerson and Tack, and when Cottle had come in. You know, this Perdue kid's that type of kid. You know, I mean, if you think that's too high a praise, all I would tell you is, wait a minute, they went on opening night to a place like Chesapeake and he dropped 38. So, you know, I mean, he can really play, and he's dynamite on the drive and can score it, and is a really nice athlete. They're the type of team that had a lot of pieces coming back, but I think it would have been a lot to ask some of those to really step up and be big-time scorers and big-time stars. He comes in, gives them that top piece, and allows everybody to just stay right in their comfort zone. I really think Piketon's a sleeper team that could be really scary because of him.
Which team, boys and girls, do you believe earned the biggest win to this point in the young season?
Well, on the girls' side, I think you could argue the PV over Piketon was pretty big. Huntington over Westfall. Because remember on the preview show we talked, Bruce, about 3-6? Mm-hmm. Obviously, head-to-head matchups are really big. I don't care if it's the first game of the year or not. So those are two that jump out at me as big. On the boys' side, obviously, we haven't had any league yet, but... Paint Valley with a win over Amanda. I mentioned Piketon at Chesapeake, Southeastern over Alexander, Zane Trace at Circleville. I think for me, I would almost answer that on the boys' side. Instead of giving you one, I would just say the collection of those wins were kind of good for our league because, you know, early in the year you start looking, okay, how's the SVC stacking up against the TBC or the Mid-State League or the SOC? And those are some things that you start to look at there. So I think a couple there on the girls' side are big, but I think the collection of wins for the boys were important.
Give the fans a team that suffered an early season loss that you believe will rebound quickly and have the year that many have predicted.
Well, I think the easy answer would be Uniota boys. I mean, obviously, Logan's really, really good. They have, outside of Dylan Swingle, they have a kid that many thinks the best player in our district. So that would probably be the easiest answer. I think Piketon girls probably fall into that. I think they're supposed to get Cameron Alexander back, one of their starting posts. She'll add a little bit of size inside, plus it'll give Coach Carino just a chance to go to his bench with one or two players where he hasn't really had that option early in the year. I also had someone ask me this question about Southeastern girls. Look, North Adams, really good basketball team. I wouldn't look too far into that. I still think they're capable. So those are two or three teams I had on my list that I think would probably fall into that category.
And there you have our fast break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, and they can fix you up for all the golfers on your Christmas list. Just tell them what you want and tell them the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. We're going to move now into our post-game comments, brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Give them a call at 740-477-9828. And whatever Crown Hill doesn't set you up with, C&K Athletic Equipment will set you up with all kinds of local school apparel, fitness gear, your headwear and sports equipment, along with sports accessories. Located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville, that is C&K Athletic Equipment. Well, in our post-game comments, we're going to talk about a rather tough week that's coming up here for Zane Trace boys anyway. You've got Unioto going to Zane Trace boys this coming Friday night. But just prior to that, you've got Zane Trace at Chillicothe on Tuesday, I believe. And then you've got them playing at Paint Valley on Saturday, I guess. So it's going to be a rough time for them. Other than the fact that this is going to be a great early season game, Shane, what are you most looking forward to seeing in this Unioto at Zane Trace deal?
Well, I think for me, yeah, we've talked so much about the streak, 55 straight games for Unioto. Uh-huh. And I think the first thing I would throw out there to fans is I think you could argue that this is the best team they have played, talking Zane Trace now, this is probably the most talented team they've played since the early part of the streak. You know, when I go back to 13-14, I'm thinking of some of the Southeastern teams, you know, some SVC names people remember. Like, that was the group with Miles and Cartier and Heiss and so forth. And that Zane Trace team that beat them that year had a young Pierce Mowry, Connor Smith. I think Eric Hutton was their point guard. Brian Hall, I think, was still at Zane Trace. And that was a really good basketball team. And then as you move forward, though, Unioto kind of started to dominate the league big time. I mean, in 14-15, that might have been their best team. They dominated the league that year. I thought the 15-16 team was arguably the best. That was the team, Bruce, you'll remember with your Vinton County Connects, that was the team that blew the 15-point lead to Vinton County in the district.
Right.
They had a late meeting at Westfall with Wyman and Mink and that team. That was kind of a tough trip up there to Westfall with the streak growing. But other than that, there hasn't been a lot of scares throughout the streak. So, I mean, they've trailed in the first half, some maybe even early third quarter. So I think it's fair on paper to say that this is probably as talented a basketball team as they've played. So that's the first thing I would look at. The second thing I think I would look at here is this is probably the most unproven the supporting cast has been for Unioto. Because keep in mind, through all these years I'm talking about, you know, Logan Swackhammer was kind of, you know, a role player for a year or so. And then Isaac Wheeler, when he came in, or Peyton Hill, when he came in through the transfer, they had to sit out for a while and kind of wait their turn and learn the program. And, you know, I can remember early on kids like Kyle Strange and Alec Atkins and so forth. Recently, you heard me mention on the show, Clay Edler, Casey White, Trey Ivey, even Gabe Fisher had spent time as role players. So that's incredible. Now, when you look at Nick Atkins and Chance Smith and Cade McKee and the DeBoer twins or whoever else I may be missing, all of these kids I just mentioned are extremely talented. Any program would be thrilled to have them. My point is, you're going in Friday night to something these kids have rarely seen. I mean, you're going into Paint Valley, you're going into Piketon, you're going into these atmospheres where you've got a huge bullseye right on you. Mm-hmm. And how will they react the first time the pep section says something in their ear when they're standing in the corner and they say something about, you know, that's probably a little bit of inappropriate, but happens when high school kids are yelling at you from the stands? Or, you know, how do they react if they turn it over, or they miss a shot, or if in the heat of the battle that, you know, that someone rips into them for the first time? Or, yeah, it's just, those are all things that are fascinating to me to see if they're able to. So the two things that add up to make this really intriguing is, again, Zane Trace being as talented a team as they've played during the entire streak in the league. And then the second thing, a supporting cast that's by all means capable and talented enough to support Swackhammer and Kennedy and Hill and Fisher, but they're certainly doing it for the first time at the varsity level. And I think all that added up makes for a great matchup in the upcoming league this Friday night.
And you say, do you know if Unioto plays on Tuesday night? I just wondered who they're playing.
Let's see. I don't have that in front of me. Unioto does not. Now, keep in mind, you mentioned there Chillicothe. Zane Trace goes to Chillicothe.
Yeah.
The return of Gary Kello there where he'd won a state championship with Chillicothe. So that's interesting. You can look at that one of two ways. Obviously, it's great preparation for Zane Trace. Yeah. But it's also, you're talking about what's going to be a really emotional game Tuesday night. And then you're going to turn back around Friday and to gear up, where Unioto is going to have all week to prepare. And also, the Zane Trace going Saturday night to Paint Valley, that just makes for a tough stretch. So,
Unioto is coming off, that's
interesting.
Unioto is coming off the loss at Logan, and they may be really ready to play. I think they've had some tough. Well, they played a foundation game against Vinton County and lost in overtime by one, I believe it was, and then lost at Logan. I don't know. They went to Hillsboro, I want to say, that Friday after Thanksgiving, too. They've had a kind of a rough streak, but they may be.
Was the Logan game at Unioto?
No, I don't think so. I think it was at Logan. If I'm not,
I believe. Don't quote me on that. I thought it was at Unioto.
Okay.
But either way, I think you make a great point there, Bruce. Let me talk about that for a second, because that's a really, really good point you make. You get these opportunities early in the year. All of these supporting cast members I'm talking about, these role players, they get a chance to go into that Vinton County, into a team like Logan, and it gives them a little bit of an opportunity to do some of these things in front of people and in an intense environment against a really quality opponent, and that should really help. So I think that's a good point too. So it's just going to be fascinating to me to see how this plays out, because obviously, Unioto has all that pressure on them and so forth. But at the same time, Unioto also has that of we're supposed to win and we expect to win and so forth. So it can really go a lot of different ways, and I'm anxious to see. And if they do lose, it's one game. You know what I mean? Obviously, the streak's over, but it's still a situation where all Zane Trace really did was hold their home court, mm-hmm. and you still have 13 more games to go. Ironically, remember, that's how the streak started. Zane Trace won on opening night there 4 years ago, and Unioto went on to go 13-1 and win the league. So there's so many different side stories, and it's really fascinating for someone like me that loves it as much as I do, just to kind of watch it unfold. So
I know where you'll be Friday night, though.
and keep in mind too, just for SVC fans, you have Paint Valley Piketon Friday night, so there's another one. You have your top half teams going right out of the gate. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So
we'll talk about it next week then.
Well, we will, and I'm sure Derek will be back by then. But yeah, Bruce, this was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. You putting in the time with me tonight, and I thought we had some topics there, and hopefully we'll get some feedback. So until that next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes there at DBK Media Services, and good night to you, Derek Webb, wherever you may be at. Hope to have you back next week. And so fans, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.